His grace is more than we'll ever need. Amen? And that God's unmerited, unearned favor. I'm thankful He loves us and His grace is bestowed upon us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our theme verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. I want to welcome the hunters back today. Not the hunter family. I'm talking about those that went out and killed Bambi last week. There was a very large crowd out killing stuff last week, so just want to welcome them back and remind them that if they shot something, that 10% of that goes to... It's kind of like the old days where the tithe to the church was given by chickens and goats and stuff like that. Well, just got to give that way, but anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sure enjoyed the music this morning, and I hope that you will be in prayer for Heartland Baptist Bible College and the leadership there as they continue to train men and women for the service of the Lord. Verse 16, a topical message this morning. We're going to do some expository messages on this the next between now and the end of the year, at least two. But this morning, a topical message on renewed. Ready? Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And again, we know the outward man is perishing. But the inward man can be renewed day after day after day. In fact, the inward man becomes stronger as time goes on. As our life winds through this road, it can become stronger and stronger. So I want to encourage you this morning that we need renewal. We need a daily renewal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I pray again we'd all be challenged to be renewed. In Jesus' name, amen. We ought to all be going forward in our Christian life. I've said many, many times that we should never get satisfied in our Christian life of where we're at when it comes to growth and spiritual growth. And so I want to encourage you this morning to listen. The Bible says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. In fact, there's several different verses that state that. And so this morning, it's important that we remember that Christianity or our relationship with Jesus Christ is a daily process. Not a weekly process, not a yearly process. You don't have to wait till January 1st to be renewed. And it's not a yearly process. It's daily. You can wake up every day and start over. And that's what the Bible really encourages us and really lifts that theme up daily, daily, daily. And so as we go forward in our service to the Lord, we need a daily renewal. We all face the daily grind, don't we? The daily grind. It's the most difficult part probably about our life. And we face that daily grind, as we said a few weeks ago, that we just keep walking. We keep going forward. We have those sudden assaults of trials and testings and those things. And we keep walking, being renewed daily, being vigilant. And by the way, since we are going through the daily grind and we are having, you know, various things come into our life, these sudden assaults, we all need a recharge. We all need to be recharged. I was reading last night or watching something on YouTube about, ain't it amazing, watching on YouTube. The pastor actually watches YouTube too. You know, these electric cars are becoming popular. I thought they'd go away. And so they continue to seem becoming more popular. And I was watching a series of YouTube videos on particular electric cars and especially electric trucks that are coming. It looks like maybe coming forward, semi-trucks, electric semi-trucks. And they were talking about how powerful they are, and it's just amazing what they can do. A car, an electric car, that'll go 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. And that's on the docket. 1.9 seconds, it's just unbelievable. But they were talking about the recharging process, that they have now developed a battery for these semi-trucks and for these cars that literally when a semi-truck driver who has to take a break, I think it's whatever it is, there's some in the room, I know, and I'm going to mess this up, but every 4 or 5 hours, they're supposed to take a 30-minute break or something like that, and they're now saying that in that 30-minute break, these trucks can be recharged and ready to go in 30 minutes, these semi-trucks. 30-minute break. Amazes me. But if you have an electric car or you have an electric truck, they're going to have to be recharged, and sometimes the batteries last, you know, 50 miles, sometimes it lasts 100 miles, and now they're developing batteries that'll last, you know, 200 miles, 300 miles, even 500 miles. But they all have to be recharged at some point. And let me tell you, you may be 50 miles into your journey, 100 miles into your journey as a Christian, but everyone needs a recharge. Everyone needs a recharge. Everyone needs that daily and that renewal from the Lord. Again, the inner man, the being, the soul, the spirit needs that recharge. Again, someone can put a good front on, but be totally drained on the inside. You ever picked up a battery that was in the junk drawer? You thought, well, this is where the new battery is supposed to be. You picked it up, put it in something, it didn't work. Even though the battery looked just fine, somebody threw it back in the junk drawer. Isn't that where y'all keep y'all's batteries, the junk drawer? Yeah, that's where they belong. They go in the junk drawer. And sometimes they're in the package, but a lot of times the package gets open and they all fall out in the drawer. And so who put that battery back in the junk drawer if it's been used already? It looks perfectly fine, but it's no good. It needs recharged. And let me tell you, you can put on a good front. We can, as human beings, we can put on a good front. But, man, on the inside, we can be totally, totally drained. And so be careful when you're looking at someone on the outside and you say, oh, man, they got their act together and they're all good. And you don't know. You don't know what's going on the inside. William Booth said this. He said, William Booth, Salvation Army. He said, look well to the fire of your soul, for it is the tendency of a fire to go out. I mean, you start a fire in your fireplace, it's going to go out unless you do a few things to it. You know, add wood. Common sense, isn't it? Sometimes even a good fire will need to be stoked every once in a while. You take that little prog and you kind of just, you know, move some stuff around. And all of a sudden you move it around and poof, you know, it lights back up again. When you're first starting that fire and getting it going, sometimes a little air helps. And a lot of us have a lot of air, so we can blow on it. I think about when I'm starting my charcoal barbecue pit. I like to do that. I wish I had wood to do it, but I usually use charcoal. And I spray the lighter fluid on it, let it set a few minutes, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And I come back and spray it down again, then light it. And even after letting it soak in, sometimes it still goes out. And so I had to go back out there, and I squirt it down. I take the charcoal bag and rip a piece of charcoal bag off, and I light that little piece, and then I, you know. And then I take my lighter fluid for the next 3 or 4 minutes, and I just. Until I know it's sufficiently hot enough and the fire's going that it won't go out. So my charcoal will get hot and I don't have to wait 3 hours to cook something. But fire has a tendency to go out. When you got saved, boy, did you receive a fire. Didn't you? I mean, you think about when you first accepted Jesus Christ, how excited you were and just the feeling that you had. And it's an amazing, amazing what God does in our heart. But that fire has to be fed. That fire has to be prodded sometimes. That fire, it has to be blown on sometimes. And so we need that. Sometimes we need to add a little. I put gas down here, but don't add gas to a fire. You'll hurt yourself. I got some stories. I won't tell them. No, I won't. I won't do it. I'm going to tell you one story. I used to call them commercials. Here's your commercial. My senior year in high school, we had the bonfire. You know, the bonfire. And so the school has always had it out by the lake. And, boy, somebody, big old pile of wood. I mean, humongous. Not Texas A&M big, but I'm talking about it was humongous. And someone had the great smart idea of dousing it, soaking it in diesel. No, it does the opposite. You go out there, it won't light. And so we were out there trying to light this thing, and it's mostly students. There really wasn't, I don't know that there was any adults out there, which is a scary thought. And we're right by the, we were, you know, we're within 50 feet of the lake, and it won't catch on fire. And so I worked in the oil field, and I had gas in the back of my truck in a can. It's called drip. How many of y'all know what drip is? Raise your hand. Oh, a few of you. It's unrefined gas. It came straight out of the ground. I'm not saying I used to run it in my truck because that would be illegal. I'm saying I had it in the back of my truck. And so I took that out and I doused it down. Well, as I'm dousing it down and walking around it, the perimeter of it, somebody lights the fire on the other side. It chases me around, catches my thing, my can on fire, and what do I do? Well, the lake's right there. I run to the lake and jumped in. I was fine. A little singe down here. It was fine and dandy. Don't try that at home. And I tried to find the guy who lit it. They knew I would kill him, so nobody said a word who it was. But all of us need that fire rekindled. And from time to time, we do get, again, soaked by something else. Trials and the daily grind, all the things that we need that recharge. We need the fire stoked. We need renewal. We think about, again, 2 Timothy says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. You can go read it. I'm not going to go over there and do so. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, it says, perilous, dangerous times are going to come. It's a prophecy, and we live in those times today. It talks about people will be lovers of their own selves and unthankful and all these things. And we see all that coming about as Paul spoke about. We live in perilous times. We live in changing times. We live in a time of social change and live in a time, it's amazing to me, even a time of, the media's had some influence in the past, but now the media seem to have just got total influence. I think about the gas shortage we had here of late, and all they had to do was say, hey, there's going to be a gas shortage, and boom, there was a gas shortage, but the news created it. And we see that influence. We also see, we think about pluralism, that everybody just kind of believes, yeah, there's many gods, and all gods are the same, and all roads lead to heaven. Can I remind you, the Bible says, Jesus Christ's own words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. There's only one road to heaven, and it's through the cross that Jesus Christ bled and died on, and through that resurrected tomb, that resurrected body. And we think about that for a moment. We live in perilous times. We see nationwide church attendance is down, even though population is up. And we live in perilous times. We live in a time when people used to question the gospel. They used to, question the gospel and call us fools or whatever the case is. But more so now, instead of questioning the message, they question the messenger. Now, instead of attacking the Bible and attacking the truths of the Word of God, now they attack the person. It's all over right now. If you believe the Bible and you believe the truths of the Word of God, the society, a lot of them, would call you a bigot because you believe certain truths that are found in this Word of God. So it's no longer questioning the message per se, and they still question the message. I'm not saying that. But now the messenger is suspect. Now the messenger and who he is and who she is, now we're suspect, not just the message. We live in perilous times. God is on the throne. God will not forget his own. I'm thankful that God rules in the affairs of man. We see this from the book of Daniel. God rules in the affairs of man. I just want to encourage you. God's still on the throne. He has said in 1 Corinthians, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. They sang about that this morning. God is faithful. God hasn't left us. God didn't create the world and all things and wind it up like a clock and throw it in the outer space and have nothing to do with it. No, God, we have a personal God. And he cares. He cares. He cares for you. He cares for me. In this perilous times, may we be reminded that God loves and cares for us. But in this perilous times, we need renewal. Unlike in times, years past, we're bombarded. I think about our young people are exposed to so much more than we were. And I'm 25 years from high school graduation, but so much more even than I was. I'm telling you, we live in that day, don't we? We live in a day when we need renewal. Where do we need renewal? Well, we need renewal in our hearts. The heart needs renewal. We need a healthy heart. Brother Wiggins has been preaching this on Wednesday nights. He just finished up that series Wednesday night. A healthy heart. We need a healthy heart. A healthy heart is vital. If you don't have a healthy heart, that's not good. It needs to be healthy, and we need a healthy spiritual heart. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, we need to put on the new man. And the new man is influenced by the Creator. The new man is influenced by the one who made him new, Jesus Christ, right? We need to put on the new man. Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for good. But it also says that he might conform us. Verse 29 says that he might conform us to the image of his Son. God is working on us to will and to do his good pleasure. God is he is crafting us. He is molding us into the image of his Son. If you're saved this morning, if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, your goal should be to be conformed to the image of Jesus. My goal in life is to be like Jesus. My goal in life is to imitate Christ. My goal in life is to be a follower of Jesus and to glorify the Lord, to lift him up and so forth. Listen, I want to be like Jesus. Well, it is God the Father who's conforming us and conforming you into the image of his Son. And it absolutely takes various things in our life, whether it be trials, whether it be tests, and of course good things, such as you being here this morning and listening to good godly music and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. As it feeds that new man. You're putting on the new man. Hello? As you feed that new man, we all need a healthy heart. Where do we need renewal? We need it in the heart. So, Romans 7:22 says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Anybody can put on a front, but what goes on in the back is far more important. In other words, what we are in the front stage of our life is what we're doing, but what we are in the back stage of our life is our being. It's who we are. And what we're being, it influences, at least eventually, influences what we're doing. There's no doubt about it. You say, well, preacher, I come, you know, I'm fine. I seem to be able to live life as I have it now. I'm comfortable in the way that life is now. Everything is great. I can get away with some things in my being. I can think some wrong thoughts. I can go some wrong places. I can listen to some wrong things. I can do these things, and I'll be okay. Listen, teenager, you can't do it. What you are, what you're being, will eventually wind up in what you're doing. What's in the bucket of the well usually comes up in a bucket of speech. What's in the heart of the well comes up in the bucket of speech. It's eventually going to come out. It's important that we be renewed. If you neglect the backstage of your life, the front stage will eventually deteriorate. We need to guard our hearts. We need a healthy heart. Where do we need renewal? In our minds. Brother Wiggins covered a lot of this during the series. The mind is the battleground. It is the battleground. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I can't sometimes control the external pressures and stresses of my life, but I can choose what I think about. I can't always, get away or do away with the stresses of the outward. Some of those are not our fault. Some of them are our fault, but I can choose what I think about. I can choose what I think about. One thing I enjoy, I actually, in the last few years, I enjoy going somewhere where it's quiet. And one of the best places for that is in a car. And so I have driven my 1991 Mazda Miata. I'm talking about sports car of all sports cars. The most powerful manufactured vehicle ever made. All 90 horsepower of it. I've driven it, and I've used this illustration before, but I'll do it again. I've driven it to California, 3,000 miles. I've driven it to Tampa, Florida. I've driven it to Michigan. I've driven it to Corpus Christi. I've driven it several places. you know what? You say, preacher, why in the world would you get in that tiny, tiny car and take it that far? Well, I was by myself. It gets good gas mileage. It's fun to drive. And guess what I can do? I can turn everything off. And I can drive in quiet, just quiet, for hours. And you know what I do? I think. I enjoy it. But you better be careful what you think about. You can ask Miss Danya. You can ask my wife. When I do take some of those smaller trips, eventually they get a call. And it'll be, hey, write this down. Hey, write that down. Even if I take a short one, like if I'm going to a fellowship in Sherman, usually between here and there, I'm going to call the office once or twice. Hey, write that down. Because I'm thinking about it. I just enjoy thinking like that. Anybody else do that at all? Am I the only one? Am I crazy? I'm a little crazy. Anybody else like the quiet like that? Now, when I'm in the car with someone and I do that, it kind of drives them crazy. One of them nuts, and my wife is one of them. Just turn it all off. And we'll notice we've gone like 4 or 5 hours in quietness. I say, hey, we've gone 4 hours in quietness. It was awesome. You choose what you think about. You may not always get to choose the outward pressures. You may not always get to choose the stress that comes from the outward. But you choose what you think about. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. You determine your attitude when you get up in the mornings. You determine how you think or what you think about. Listen, guard that thinking. Guard your heart and guard your thinking. The mind must be renewed. Romans 12 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's so many verses we could turn to. Again, our theme verse, for which cause we faint not, that though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day, we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Listen, we need to put on the new man. That's a choice. You take the action of taking off that old man and putting on the new man. When I got saved, I received a new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Holy Spirit comes when I got saved and lives inside of me. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? He's there to lead and direct me, to guide me, to comfort me, to encourage me, to empower me to live the Christian life. What a blessing it is. But when it comes right down to it, as a Christian, I choose. I choose whether to feed the new man and starve the old man, or I choose to feed the old man and starve the new man, depending on what I'm taking in, depending on what I'm absorbing, depending on what I'm thinking about, depending on who I hang out with, amen? I choose. And so we ought to choose to guard our hearts and choose to guard our minds. Choices. Choose what you think. Where do we need renewal? We need renewals in our heart. We need renewal in our mind. And then the how of it. How? How are we to be renewed? And this is pretty much stuff you've heard before, but practically speaking, we need to rest and retreat. Jesus said there, he said that he went to a solitary place and prayed. There's times we need to kind of retreat and take time and step back and see how we're stewarding our life, to see how we're following Jesus. By the way, following Jesus is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not always easy. I am not a long-distance runner and never have been. In fact, I'm best and was best at 20 yards, not even 40. I'm telling you, we had to run the mile and a half as one of our tests. Even if you were in football, you still had to run the mile and a half. And I never could make it the whole way. I always had to stop. I'd be in the best shape of my life and still had to stop. And what I would do is I would stop and I would walk for a little bit and then I would just sprint. I would stop a little bit, walk a little bit, and sprint. And I'd catch a bunch of those guys who were just kind of... And I would pass them. And then I would catch up with them again. And then sometimes I'd beat them just by doing that strategy. I don't know. Anyway. But God didn't make me to run long distance. But as a Christian, it is a long distance run. It is a marathon. And we need to follow Jesus. Yes, we need to follow Jesus. And remember, it's not a sprint. Step back and steward your life. Take a time and reassess your life. Take a look. Take a look. How am I to be renewed? Take a look spiritually. Take a look spiritually. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." How am I to be renewed? I need to take a look at myself spiritually. Sometimes we lose clarity, don't we? And Jesus Christ gets knocked off the throne of our hearts. He should be the throne of our heart. He should be number one. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." In other words, sometimes we go through the motions, the front stage of our lives, when the backstage is suffering. We get comfortable as Christians. We get comfortable in where we're at as Christians. But what I'm asking this morning, is your soul healthy? Is your spirit healthy? I went to the doctor a few months back, the same doctor I've been visiting for a long time, and also the group of doctors I've been going to since I was 16, or even further back than that. So I drive back to Bowie and Nakona to go to the doctor. That may sound silly, but I'm just more comfortable that way. And they have all my records, and so I went back this time. I said, "Hey, I've just really, really gotten big, and I want some help." First time I've ever asked the doctor for help with my weight, and she kind of reassessed me, and they took blood work. But they also have all my records, and if you look back at my record of what I weighed 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, there is an alarming trend when it comes to my weight. There's an alarming trend with a lot of my statistics, vital signs. And so she's like, "Yes, you need to get this taken care of." And so, you know, sometimes we have to go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, would you look at me? Would you check me out? Doctor, take a look." Sometimes we need the doctor to take a look. We really do. Are you healthy? Are you healthy? Physically, we get to the place where we're not healthy, and we need to go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, hey, take a look at this or take a look at that." And they prescribe things for us and try to help us. But listen, we need to go to the doctor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, "Help me. Take a look at this. Take a look at this. Are you healthy?" See, we can put on a false image at church, and we can put a false image even with our wives and kids and with our husbands. But listen, God knows if you're healthy or not. Take a look. Take a look spiritually. Take a look physically. And I'm not going to touch on this one because we all would get really, 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 really convicted. But we do need to be careful when it comes to our physical bodies, and we need to take care of them, and because it does influence the spiritual. By the way, your physical can influence your marriage and family. If you're not feeling good and you're unhealthy, then it will absolutely influence the rest of your life spiritually and your relationships. So important. It's important. Hang on. It's important you take care of your body. See, one pointing at you, three pointing back at me. That's what my dad used to say growing up. It got quiet, so I'll move on. Winston Churchill said this. He said, "Fatigue can make cowards of all of us." Just sometimes we get tired. Physically, I'm saying. We need to be careful. Take a look. Take a look spiritually. Take a look physically. Take a look emotionally. Can I just tell you, emotionally speaking, rest your hope in Jesus. Psalm 16, "My flesh shall rest in hope." We try to regulate someone else. Here, another thought. Sometimes emotionally we're having so much trouble, and then when we get emotionally in a bind or whatever, we begin to look at other people's lives and begin to nitpick them. Sometimes we begin to take some care of somebody else's vineyard instead of taking care of our own. Well, we need to be careful. So we need to rest and retreat. Sometimes we need to just take a look, see how we are spiritually. Number three, which is a big one, repent. Sometimes in our lives we're not renewed because we have sin in our life. Pride. Man, pride is a terrible, terrible sin. May we always remember that we're to look on the needs of others. Sometimes we have allowed spiritual neglect to get in our lives. And sometimes it's relational neglect. Can we just be reminded that we have got to take care of our spirit? We got to take care of our soul. Repent. Is there sin in your life this morning? Man, preacher. Yeah, is there sin in your life? Are you living right? Are you doing right? So, preacher, my emotions are just a wreck, and spiritually I'm a wreck, and I can't seem to rest. And how's the sin going? Sometimes we just need to get right with God. That's about as bluntly as I can put it. Number four is priorities. So rest and retreat. Take a look and are you healthy spiritually? Repent of your sins, and then it's just priorities. Sometimes we need a realignment. It's when your car begins to kind of, driving down the road, it begins to veer to the right or to the left, and you take it into the shop and they realign it. As Christians, sometimes we just need a realignment. We need a realignment when it comes to priorities in our life. What is the priorities in your life? Priority ought to be God, number one. God ought to rest on the throne of your heart. Is God on the throne of your heart? Is God number one? All right, you came to church this morning, means you put God in this right place. Hello? How about the rest of the week? Are you putting God in his rightful place? Before your family, before work, before anything else in your life, God should be number one. Number two is family. Is family. Family's priority. Is family priority over your workplace? Is family priority? By the way, husbands, I want to remind you, your wife comes before your kids. And wives, your husband comes before your kids in priority. Well, that gets out of whack a lot of times. Priority. We need a realignment. Man, we're coming up to the first of the year, but you don't have to wait to the first of the year to realign your life, to make some adjustments, to make the priorities right. Work is down the priority list, somewhere down there. Now, it's important. You got to provide for your family, but it's not first, it's not second, it's not third. Third is, of course, God. It has to do with your church attendance as well, but church ought to be third. It ought to be right there at it. Man, putting God first, and then work, and everything else kind of comes below that. We need sometimes just a realignment. Sometimes we need to reassess our lives and realign it. And lastly, rest. Can I tell you, if we are to be renewed, we need to rest in the Lord. Rest in his work. I'm thankful Jesus Christ came to this world, that he came to earth 2,000 years ago about, and that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again, that I might have my sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. I'm so thankful for the gospel. I'm so thankful in this perilous times that we have good news. And the good news is that the God of this universe loves you. The God of this universe gave his son's life for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, God became flesh. He lived a sinless life. No one else has ever lived a sinless life. He didn't go to the cross and die for his sins. He didn't go to the cross and die for his wrong. No, he died for my sins. The Bible says he laid on him, God the Father laid on his son, the iniquity of us all. And there Jesus Christ gave his life for my sin. If you'll simply put your faith and trust in him, you can have everlasting life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know if you were to die today that heaven would be your home? If you don't, I encourage you, I beseech you, I beg you. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing some songs and encourage you to come down the front, and we'll show you from the Bible how your sins can be forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven. We need renewal. The first renewal we need is salvation. We need to rest in his work of salvation, his work of sanctification. In other words, he's working on us. His workings in our life are for our good. God always has your best interest in mind. God cares for you. And whatever you're facing today and whatever you're going through, God has allowed that to happen. And so therefore, we need to rest in his work. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, very patient. He's still working on me. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. I'm glad he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. Christian, this morning, he's working on you. Won't you just yield to that? Rest in that fact, knowing that whatever has come your way, God has allowed that to happen, and he's working on you. We can rest in his work. We can rest in his word, the word of God. You want renewal? Yield to his work in your life and read the book. Yield to his will in your life and listen to preaching. Listen to the book. The greatest way to feed the healthy new man, to make a healthy new man, is to feed him the word of God. You want to have a healthy heart? Feed him the word of God. You want to have a healthy mind? Feed it the word of God. You should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How's your mind renewed? Reading the book. Listen to the book being preached. Listen to the book being sung about, the truths of God's word. You want to be healthy Christian? You want to have a healthy heart, spiritual heart? Read the book. Take up thy daily. It says the inner man is renewed day by day. How's your Bible reading going? And then lastly, rest in his spirit. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to walk in the spirit. That we be filled with the spirit. I'm going to turn to one more verse, and I promise this is the conclusion. This will wrap it all up. Turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. And I'm done. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Paul says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Notice what Paul says. None of these things move me. We live in perilous times today. We live in a time of social change and so many things going on. We live in a time of fast-paced society and the daily grind that just constantly bombarding us. We live in a time of, you know, trials and testings. We live in those times. Paul said, all those times, none of these things move me. He'd been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been left for dead, been stoned and left for dead. And he said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Can we just anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we just be on that sure foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not be moved? Amen. None of these things move me. Don't allow life situations to move you. Don't allow life circumstances to move you. Well, how are we going to do that? By being renewed day by day. See, you're going to have your batteries recharged. And there's many here in the auditorium this morning, your battery's dead. Or just a little faint glow of one. Maybe you come down to the altar and say, "Lord, I need renewal." Maybe you need to pick your Bible back up and begin reading the Bible daily again. Maybe you haven't been faithful to church and hearing the Word of God being preached. Maybe you get back faithfully to Sunday night and Wednesday night services where you're three to thrive. If you want to thrive as a Christian, come to all three services. Maybe you just need renewal this morning. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed this morning. I know there's needs in the auditorium. Your greatest need this morning is renewal. Renewal. Have you been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't, won't you come forward? Show you from the Bible how you can have salvation. Christian, this morning, maybe you need to come to the doctor and say, "Take a look. Are you healthy this morning? Is your spirit healthy?" Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us and that you do care. And God, we just pray this morning that you would convict us. But God, we thank you that you encourage us and strengthen us and you empower us. And you're the one that renews our batteries. God, I pray this morning that those who need recharge would come forward and get recharged. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.